Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
You know, there's a lot of things going on in our world sometimes that are undetected. And, you know, you may have something in your family bloodline genetically that might give you a predisposition to an illness. There's some things that are naturally occurring within your body. You might have inherited, or then there's other things that might be, wow, I'm drinking something. Oh, there was mold in my home. Oh, I'm eating or smoking or drugs, or, you know, things that come from the outside in that make you sick. They're not naturally organically occurring within you. They came from the outside in. And that's kind of what's happening to our country. And you see things and you're like, oh, this is just must be a trend. It's crazy. It's all just, you know, the way the world's going, but they're not by accident. Breitbart had an article that came out based on a new book by Peter Schweitzer. You know, Peter Schweitzer wrote the Clinton Cash and a whole bunch of books. He does deep research for several years and comes out with a book full of documents and FOIA requested information. I want to read a couple of quotes from this because it's really, really important. Peter Schweitzer notes in his book.
Well, name the book, though.
The book's called Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. And so here's a couple of quotes from this. The Chinese government's using drugs and social chaos and other means to tear apart the social fabric of the United States and wage war against America without firing a shot. It's a part of what they call disintegration warfare. It's a strategy outlined in an obscure manifesto. Back in 2010, Disintegration Warfare was written. The strategy is based on Chinese strategy and General Sun Tzu's Art of War. Here's a quote from it. It says, in keeping with this approach, Chinese official military strategy focuses on, in the Chinese leader's words, going after the United States, their soft underbelly, in terms of politics, economics, and the psychology of the American people. Chinese leaders have coined this new term as unrestricted warfare and disintegration warfare. Schweitzer goes on to say that the strategy has already taken in the U.S. in a form of hundreds of thousands of American deaths in the past 5 years alone, a greater amount than the casualties from any war in the past 15 years.
And
mounting daily. It says it's a complex strategy, a hydra of drugs, disease, propaganda, each is contributing to social chaos, and it's killing Americans. In the 1990s, two senior Chinese officials analyzed the power of the United States military extensively and concluded that it was futile for Beijing to try to match it. So they instead recommended deploying a series of non-military weapons that would reimagine the tools of warfare.
And reimagine? How often are we hearing those words?
Not just Kamala Harris.
No.
The Chinese reimagined the tools of warfare and redefined the battlefield with out-of-the-toolbox strategies. One of the strategies Schweitzer writes about was using illegal drugs as drug warfare. Fentanyl is now the leading cause of death of Americans under the age of 45. Let me hear it again. If you find out of a death of somebody 45 and younger, the most probable cause is fentanyl overdose. It's Chinese manufactured. They're getting them across the border. And in some instances in our southern border, there is larger Chinese immigration coming in freely through the southern border than any other nation. And so when you look at this, we are at a war, and they could not have stormed the beaches, you know, with guns in hand. It could have never worked against America. But they use what they call the soft underbelly of America, using some of our good things against us, like our border. And it's not happening organically. It's not happening naturally. And this has been going on for years. The schools have been infiltrated since the 30s and 40s. And tell you what, it's too big of a topic for us to break down on our own. We have an expert that understands this, that has spent thousands of hours studying these topics and can break them down for us. It's Miss Courtney Turner.
Yay!
Yeah, no, that's totally been going on forever. And interesting you brought up the school system. That's something I've been doing a lot of deep dives on because I've been to the Senate twice the past month. The first time I went to do a presentation on the natural asset companies, I don't know if you're familiar, but they were, the SEC was proposing a rule. They had partnered up with the New York Stock Exchange, and it was the Intrinsic Exchange Group who partnered with New York Stock Exchange. They were double dipping on both sides, but essentially it was to put a new class of companies up on the New York Stock Exchange. And so I went to do a presentation on that. And that also was an agenda that goes back decades. Fortunately, the SEC did withdraw the proposal. So this is, you know, I don't think that means that we should give up. You know, we need to be really vigilant because they're just going to rebrand and retool, rename, and keep marching forward. And right now they're really moving forward with the Climate Smart Commodity projects. They put $3.1 billion into that. Actually, it was the USDA announced that in 2022. Most people haven't even heard of them. So they partnered with all these other companies. So I did a presentation on that. And then I went back. And the second time I went was with smaller, like, individual meetings, and it was on the school choice issue. And that was actually really fascinating. It was a very different experience than my other previous one, because the previous one was more of a presentation for a committee. It was for the agricultural committee, a subcommittee. But this was individual meetings, and I'm going back tomorrow. And they really just, you know, the dialectical warfare has been very, very effective. And they have this attitude that, you know, Democrats are bad, we're good. And I keep saying it would almost behoove us to have a Democratic governor, a Democrat governor, and a Republican legislator, because then anything that came down the pike, they'd have the framework, the mindset being like, okay, they're bad, we just shut that down, and, you know, whatever we do is good. And that's what they kept telling me. And I said, I really don't care whether an R is in front of it or a D is in front of it. If you're growing the government, you're spending more tax dollars, you're increasing taxes, and you're limiting our freedoms, particularly parental rights and freedom, then I don't really care if somebody with an R put this bill forth. So, but it
a
was
big
really
Republican government is just as harmful as a big Democratic government.
And in many ways, it's actually more pernicious because psychologically the impact it has on the quote unquote, you know, right wing, freedom minded people who are placated, thinking because the marketing is so clever. And so I was really going back through the history of education, goes all the way back to the 1800s. And so does a lot of this psychological warfare games that really. Not to say that it starts then, because obviously the ancients used propaganda and psychological warfare. You know, I mean, they had the flying pigs and the elephants. You know, the whole term, the eye for an eye, comes out of like propaganda. That was art. It was like the staff. But, you know, so that's going back millennia. But in the 1800s, I would really say that, you know, Wilhelm von Thun was known as kind of like the grandfather of psychology. He was a Hegelian. And he was very heavily influenced by Hegel, and he really exported that onto the education system. And as I was trying to explain that to, you know, our legislators, and that didn't go over so well. They were not pleased. So it was interesting, though, that you brought up the education, and it really has. I've been reading this book, which I cannot recommend enough. Sorry, I've got like a million books here. But it's Charlotte Isherbitten. Isherbitten, I can never say her name right, but Charlotte Isherbitten, she was a whistleblower under the Reagan administration.
It's called the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America?
Yep. And John Taylor Gatto also wrote another book called The Dumbing Down of America. He did some great work. And the Charlotte and Anthony Sutton have done a lot of work together. He wrote this book, The America's Secret Establishment, The Order of Skull and Bone. And Anthony Sutton's a phenomenal researcher. He was a fellow for the Hoover Institute. But about a third of that book is about how the order controls education. And he got a lot of his resources from Charlotte, whose father and grandfather were both members of Skull and Bone. So she actually had like access to the list of, you know, like the little black book, essentially their Rolodex, and gave it to Sutton, who used it to write this book. And it's very intertwined because she doesn't bring it up, but I knew just from the references and the research I've done, she brings up things like the national training labs and things like sensitivity training. These were all part of how they've, you know, turned the education system on its head and really, you know, the whole point was to create these mindless, obedient soldiers. Mm-hmm. They literally said that. That would be the translation. It came out of the Battle of Jena. It was in 1807. They lost the battle. And they realized they lost because these soldiers rebelled. And so they said, well, they rebelled because they were critical thinkers. We must eviscerate critical thinking, and we want to breed mindless, obedient soldiers. And that is when they created the three-tier Prussian model. And it was really Wilhelm Wundt who, you know, was the creator of the PhD program, who exported, it's called the Wundtian Americanization of Education. And through the Leipzig Connection, there was a book called The Leipzig Connection, which was a class in Leone. It's a short book. It's like 150 pages. And they go through, you know, at Leipzig, Wundt taught people like Pavlov, you know, so we get things like the Skinner type of model of education. So it's all based on like neurological priming, which instead of really foundational tools to breed critical thinking, and they actually changed the definition of education. She, Charlotte goes through that here, and it's because they're trying to create, you know, transhumanism. Mm-hmm. That's really, you know, so that where they said it of their own admission that every child needs to be put into the computer, really every soul. But of course, you know, if you get the children, you have a much better chance of capturing the future generation. And those were literally their words. It's all about creating these global citizens. They called it a global workforce. That was what they coined the term.
That mean in the 1800s, Courtney?
So they didn't talk about the global work. They didn't use the term global workforce in the 1800s. In the 1800s, they were talking about the state being the absolute, because it's all based on Hegel. And the order the Wundtian exportation, because Wundt gave G. Stanley Hall, he was one of the first Americans to have a PhD. And he then taught John Dewey. And John Dewey was very instrumental, right? Yeah. And Dewey was essentially a Hegelian. And they all were. But people don't understand, you know, the Hegelian dialectic. There were the left Hegelians. There were the right Hegelians. The right Hegelians were very instrumental in, like, the militarization of education, but just military roots and, you know, the rise of Nazism. But we see that through education. That's why, you know, the classes are structured like, you know, certain time periods, and then the bell rings, and it's all about following orders. This comes out of this right Hegelian. And then, of course, the left Hegelian, I think, is more familiar to people. This is like the progressive scientism and, you know, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. But the reason I was saying that it's definitely connected to the psychological warfare is because things like the national training labs, and they talk about the sensitivity training, which is a huge part of, you know, the private-public partnerships that we have, all this brainwashing. They actually called sensitivity training back then. They called it brainwashing. And it was Friedrich Emery. And Emery was a Tavistock psychologist. And their overlaps, their national training labs, come out of Kurt Lewin's group dynamics organizations. He had, and then, of course, you know, Wilford Bion. And Bion, his whole, it was all about group dynamics also. Bion's whole theory got exported to the United States through A.K. Rice. We have the Rice Institute in the United States, which is essentially the, like, American counterpart to Tavistock. But Tavistock was they started out as literally the British Propaganda Bureau. So they were all about brainwashing, all about propaganda, and it was designed for psychological warfare. The whole purpose of it was to garner acquiescence from the Americans and the British to engage in the First World War on the side of the Brits. They appointed, it was a masterman who appointed Edward Bernays and Walter Lippmann. So of course, Edward Bernays, you know, who wrote the book Propaganda, and he's kind of thought of as the father of PR, although I think William Munzenberg deserves a lot of that credit as well, but he's not as much talked about. But Edward Bernays was a double nephew of Sigmund Freud, and his nephew was the founder of today's modern propaganda machine, a.k.a. Netflix. Then it was Walter Lippmann. Yeah.
Follow that bloodline straight there. Yeah. What's interesting title with Peter Schweitzer's book is Why the Powerful Turned a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. If you're programmed and indoctrinated to not be an individual, to not raise your hand and say the emperor has no clothes, it's easy to get millions of people just to be like, well, I'm sure somebody's going to work on this and I don't want to, you know, rock the boat by eliminating critical thinking for individuals out of this process. What is a counter technique for this. This is happening to us. This has been in the school system. I have three grandchildren now. Just got a brand new one last week, a 2024 model. Really excited about that.
Congratulations. Thank you.
What can parents, grandparents, you know, the citizens here, like, what are some counter techniques, like at a judo move? This is happening. What's a reversal that can be done for our children to increase critical thinking and to, like, to swing this pendulum back? Maybe we can't do it for the country. You know, America's right. got to save itself, but we can save Americans that we have direct contact with. You know, my family, my grandkids, my neighbors, people that are in my sphere. What can we do to swing that pendulum back for those Americans, which might lead to saving America in the future?
Right. I absolutely agree. I do want to address China very quickly because, you know, so Mao was actually a Yale-y. There was a whole Yale in China organization. And Anthony Sutton reveals that Mao was trained under that program. So a lot of the techniques that were, you know, those brainwashing techniques and the Hegelian dialectic that and when I mentioned the Hegelian dialectic, I mean, I could go through that, might take a longer time to really break that down. But it's important for psychological warfare because this is dialectical warfare, essentially. And I'll just give you a really quick, I interviewed someone who was in the Senate and he said that there was an organization, it's called Braver Angels. They're an offshoot of the Masons, and they actually came to do a seminar on how to weaponize the Hegelian dialectic for psychological warfare purposes. Wow. He said he was very disturbed. He was kind of in shock that this was even happening. And he said it went right over, you know, most of his peers' heads. They were not concerned at all. But I think it's important because when you think about a lot of what's going on with China, you know, China was a master of color revolutions, and this was a Maoist insurgency, essentially. They use struggle sessions, and we're seeing constantly that today. That's what we're seeing a lot of. It's really, and it's all, you know, as you said, without firing a shot. So what would I recommend to parents in particular, but really just for Americans also, is that they use narrative warfare. So I think I tweeted this pretty recently. I was saying how people often think of the different labels of, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, which is totally hijacked because you're really classical liberal, not leftist, socialist. But, you know, they have all of these different labels and people think of them as philosophical constructs. And of course, they have some philosophical roots. But when you think about philosophy, there's lots of philosophers encompassed in these various philosophies. And they don't all agree with each other 100%. It's much more nuanced than that. But what I see in modern application, more accurately described, I would say, is their target audiences for marketing. And so the reason I bring this up is because for parents and just for Americans in general, I'd be very cognizant of having, you know, a very strong resiliency to narrative warfare. People are very quick to be reactionary, very emotional, and they don't use critical thinking skills. So they fall kind of for the marketing, you know, they fall prey to that. So for adults, I would encourage them to teach their children this as well, you know, to really step back and think before something that triggers you in, whether it be in the media, on social media, you know, really wait. You don't have to have, you know, you don't have to take a side on everything. You don't have to have a stance on everything immediately. You can wait to collect more data. You can wait to process things, great see how advice. Things play out. So that I would start with that. But I would say for children, you know, really, I know not everybody can or, you know, has the desire to, but I would encourage them to get out of the public school system. You know, of course, it would be ideal if we could revolutionize it and, you know, we could, you know, improve it. But I think right now it is so far gone. And the whole purpose of it is to create global citizens. That is the purpose. It is to create this global workforce. And they're doing it through, if I can find this book is great too. My friend, John Klysik, School World Order.
Can you slide that in the middle there a little more?
Sorry. Yeah, there it is.
School World Order, John Klysik.
Yes, the technocratic globalization of corporatized education. And he actually knew Charlotte. Charlotte gave him a lot of her books when she passed. And I told him, you know, if he ever needed money, he could sell his library. He'd be a very wealthy man. but he has some pretty amazing books and some like first editions of them. So, but that book is a great resource on what they're doing through SEL. It's really all about data mining. And, you know, if you know like Skinnerian psychology, if you know Tavistock research, they do the data mining, but it's all so that they can then use that data in order to control and manipulate and program you. So definitely take them out of the public school. I would encourage, if you are homeschooling, do not fall for the school choice scam. And, you know, whatever the government funds, it runs. So I would really encourage, if you are homeschooling, to genuinely homeschool, opt them out of, and not all states have a complete opt-out system. You know, they may call it homeschooling, but you're still under the umbrella of a lot of regulation. So I would do that. And I would arm them with the foundational tools. You know, there's a reason why Plato had the trivium, the quadrivium. These are foundational, like grammar, rhetoric, logic, geometry. These are tools you can then use and then apply it and let them, you know, discover what their talents are, what their passions are, and pursue those. Give them the tools so that they can then ascertain knowledge and not be indoctrinated. They can ask questions. And I encourage that too, really, to guide them to, you know, lead by asking questions and pursue path of inquiry versus, you know, we have to follow this curriculum and you have to answer these questions and, you know, take this test.
Yes.
So I think those are, some places.
Great suggestions. Okay. So Flyover Family, obviously, you're hearing from Courtney. She has this brilliant brain.
Yes.
Very strong mentally. But we also want to show you something you may not know about Courtney that we discovered today, which was pretty cool. So check out that she's not just strong in her brain, she's strong in her body.
Strong mind, strong body. This is evidence. Check this out.
You are like a mighty mouse right there. That is absolutely amazing. David says you're like an ant.
Yeah, like an ant. Brandy lifts several times your own body weight. That's unbelievable. Deadlifting, repping 215 pounds. That is
so impressive.
Such an incredible accomplishment.
Thank you. I used to, before I did all of this, I would do aerial acrobatic performances, and I was a CrossFit coach and a personal trainer, and I would do speeches. It was called Movement as a Metaphor for Life. And I would talk about my personal birth story, because I was born with a lot of physical challenges. They told my mom that the best she could hope was find a nice institution for me to spend my life. I was born with hypotonic limbs. They really just didn't think there was any kind of hope for me. My parents actually sued for my birth. It was called the wrongful birth case. So wow. I did the speech about movement as a metaphor for life, because I think that physical training is something very concrete and tangible. And, you know, you set goals and you achieve them. And even when you don't, you're always achieving something. There's a sense of accomplishment. And it's so tangible, like as a metaphor and as a tool. So I would talk about how people can use their physical training as a way to teach them to overcome adversity in other areas of life. So
I love it.
I love it when people walk out what they talk about.
Me too. So Flyover Family, if you're listening to this thinking, I need to learn more from Courtney, you can find her at CourtneyTurner.com. And that is CourtneyTurner, Turner.com. Make sure you are following her there. You can see her show there. Can they also follow you on social media and X and all that from that as well?
Yeah. So all of my social media handles are on my website at CourtneyTurner.com, and they're all at Courtney Turner, except for Instagram is at Kinetic Courts to move. I post more like fitness and personal. I'm going to stop posting as much of the, you know, political and the podcast stuff, just because they shadow ban me so much.
Sure.
And I really don't want to lose that page. So yeah. So we're going to.
I love it. I remember the first time I heard about you, I was talking with Clay Clark. He says, you got to interview Courtney. She's probably one of the smartest people that I've ever met. And I believe it 100%. Flyover family, if you're listening to this, and she was rattling off terms, rattling off of ideas and philosophies where they came from, and you're like, what is she talking about? It sounds like, you know, the details of a sport you've never watched. Dig into her channel because she does deep dives on these things on a regular basis, and you've got to get up to speed, especially if you're a parent or grandparent and there are those coming behind you that depend on you breaking the ice ahead of them so that their path can be a little more clear and you can help translate the attacks that are coming from the outside in. The same way you wouldn't be drinking water that's poisoned or doing things that would be harming your body, you don't want to allow the information around to also infiltrate your family line as well. And we got to be aware. Ignorance is not bliss. It's pain. It's misery. It's death. We got to be aware and be able to protect those that we're supposed to be an umbrella for. And Courtney and her show is one of the best ways that you can do that and help you pedal a little bit faster. She's helped us a tremendous amount. And she's definitely a friend of the show. Courtney, thank you for your time. Thank you for stopping by. And I can't wait till we see.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.